Good morning. My name is Suzette, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Faith Response to the House GOP Budget Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Ms. Melissa Botea. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thanks so much. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining Half in 10, Faith in Public Life, and Sojourners for a call to articulate a faith response to the House GOP budget. I just want to remind everyone that this call is being recorded and that by participating, you consent to being recorded. As the moderator said, my name is Melissa Botech, and I'm the director of the Half in 10 campaign, which is a partnership of the Center for American Progress Action Fund, the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, and the Coalition on Human Needs to Cut U.S. Poverty in Half in 10 Years. The House GOP budget released yesterday can pretty much be summed up in one sentence. It asked the poor to foot the bill for paying for tax cuts, additional tax cuts, for millionaires and corporations. Yesterday, we released a quote sheet of diverse and prominent faith leaders responding to this from a moral perspective, and it is this sentiment which is fueling the moral outrage of faith leaders across the country. Today's speakers will address this budget from a moral angle, discussing how the priorities it sets forth are at odds with their faith values and what these budget choices would mean for the most vulnerable. Our first speaker is no stranger to fighting for the middle class and working families that would get the short shrift in the House GOP budget. Congresswoman Nita Lowey is serving her 12th term representing Westchester and Rockland counties in New York, and as a senior member of the House Appropriations Committee, she serves on the Subcommittee for Homeland Security and the Labor, Health and Human Services and Education Subcommittee. She's also the ranking Democratic member on the State and Foreign Ops Subcommittee. Congresswoman Lowey has long fought for investments to create jobs and improve outcomes for families, such as investing in biomedical research, local infrastructure, and higher education affordability. I'll turn it over to Congresswoman Lowey now.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for bringing this group together. As we know, last year, all Americans were understandably outraged when the House Republican majority proposed a budget resolution that would end Medicare as we know it by ending its guaranteed defined benefit and slashing benefits on which millions of Americans rely. Now, I'm not much of a gambler, but it's clear to me that the House Republican majority has doubled down on last year's outrageous budget in a way that jeopardizes priorities of many faith-based service groups. My mother was a strong influence in my life and ingrained in me a devotion to make the world a better place in my Jewish faith's tradition. I meet regularly with groups like the United Jewish Appeal, Catholic Charities, hospitals that have a religious affiliation. These organizations understand that we share an obligation to feed the hungry, care for the sick, and be our brother's keeper. I'd like to touch on a couple of specific proposals that would put at risk my constituents in New York and millions of other middle-class families, senior citizens, and vulnerable individuals. Representing more than 130,000 senior citizens, I strongly oppose the Republican plan to replace Medicare's guaranteed benefit with a fixed payment or voucher that would grow more slowly than health care costs. This saves money by shifting costs onto the backs of senior citizens who are already feeling financial strain. Deep cuts to Medicaid would shift costs to the states and hurt the program's ability to meet the health care needs of the poor, individuals with disabilities, and senior citizens residing in nursing homes. As we all know, states are already under enormous financial strain, and shifting more costs on their backs would require deep benefit cuts, reduced eligibility, or steep tax hikes, or all three. Finally, the Republican budget would preserve unnecessary tax breaks for millionaires, billionaires, and large corporations at the expense of domestic investments and help for vulnerable individuals. The House Republican leadership has clearly chosen these large and costly tax cuts And they've made it clear that they're more important to preserve than domestic investments that are critical to the health, nutrition, and economic security of millions of Americans. Republicans themselves know that this irresponsible proposal is out of step with senior citizens, middle-class families, and millions of other Americans. That is why Republican leadership has had to encourage them to be brave, support the party's budget despite the clear opposition of the American people. I am so pleased to join the faith leaders on the call today to draw attention to this outrageous budget proposal and encourage the Republican leadership to go back to the drawing board for a budget that prioritizes middle-class families, senior citizens, and vulnerable individuals. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Congresswoman Lowy, for those remarks. I want to next turn it over to Father Thomas Kelly. Our next speaker has an on-the-ground view of how decisions made in the House GOP budget would affect Congressman Ryan's own constituents. Father Kelly is a Catholic priest from Elkhorn, Wisconsin, and a constituent of House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan. Ordained in 1956 by the Diocese of Peoria, Illinois, he served in a variety of parish and campus ministry positions in Illinois throughout his career. He retired from full-time ministry in 1999, but remains active within the church and often serves as a visiting priest for several local congregations in Wisconsin. Take it away, Father Kelly.
Well, thank you. Well, to be quite blunt, I just think the Republican budget is an immoral, irresponsible plan that guts protections for seniors and struggling families in order to protect tax giveaways to millionaires and corporate special interests, using the deficit as an excuse to pursue a radical agenda that punishes the poor is simply dishonest and immoral. I think the budget, GOP budget, violates our fundamental religious values that teach us to care for one another. It decimates safety net programs like food stamps and unemployment insurance. And those are critical investments in America's future that keep millions out of poverty every year. Recently, the Catholic bishops sent Ryan and other congressional leaders a letter calling for protection of the safety net and putting defense cuts on the table, a request Ryan appears to ignore. Ryan can try to spin comments.
Father Kelly, are you there? Okay, while we wait for Father Kelly to come back, we're going to turn it over to Lisa Sharon Harper. She is a national Christian leader who has spent her career speaking out on behalf of the most vulnerable. Lisa Sharon Harper is the director of Mobilizing at Sojourners and was previously the founding executive director of New York Faith and Justice, an organization at the hub of a new ecumenical movement to end poverty in New York City.
Thank you so much, and good morning. Thank you for joining the call today. Congressman Paul Ryan has a religion problem. And it's a big one. The Christian tradition and most other religious traditions, for that matter, call for people of faith to stand up and defend the poor and vulnerable. And they are filled with examples of brave prophets who speak the truth to the rich and powerful. Congressman Ryan's budget is the opposite. It slashes effective programs for low-income people and increases their tax burden. At the same time, it cuts taxes further for the wealthy and increases military spending without justification. Any tough decisions, it kicks down the road another 10 years with the hope that some other session of Congress will deal with it. When faced with the challenge of our nation's long-term debt, he takes the easy way out. This plan shows moral cowardice. There are lots of tax cuts and benefits if you just so happen to be in the demographic that might be bundling campaign contributions, but poor families will have to cut meals out of their budget. Pregnant women will go without proper nutrition, and children won't have access to health care. Poor people might not have armies of lobbyists or super PACs to flood the airwaves, but they do have people of faith on their side. There is a way to solve this problem that is fair to all Americans. There is a way to reduce the deficit and ensure that those who are struggling get the helping hand they need. A moral budget plan must require shared sacrifice. We can save this country. We can reduce the deficit. And we don't need to do it on the backs of poor and vulnerable people. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And we've been rejoined by Father Kelly, so I'm going to turn it back over to him.
Well, thank you so much. One of the themes, key themes of Catholic social teaching is the life and dignity of the human person. We believe that every person is precious, that people are more important than things, and that the measure of every institution is whether it threatens or enhances the life and dignity of the human person. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Father Kelly. So I think we've gotten a very strong moral perspective on the House GOP budget. I just want to close out by providing a few key facts that are informing the moral outrage that you've heard on this call. The first one is that the House GOP budget cuts the SNAP food stamp program by billions of dollars. While we don't know exactly the amount in the block grant, if last year's $127 billion cuts are any indication, then the GOP budget would mean over $1.7 million jobs at risk over the next 10 years. 1.7 million jobs at risk over the next 10 years because of the SNAP cuts and the House GOP budget. The second thing is that middle-class economic security would be shredded by putting care for the elderly, disabled, and children at risk. The Ryan budget would roll back health care for at least 30 million people with its cuts to Medicaid and the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. And with two out of every three Medicaid dollars going to provide care for people in nursing homes, victims of catastrophic accidents, and disabled children, cuts to Medicaid would hit those populations particularly hard. The third point I want to make, and many on the call have made it before, is that millionaires and corporations get a free ride in this budget at the expense of middle and low-income families. Even with all of the spending cuts that Congressman Ryan puts forward, the budget still produces a deficit at the end of 10 years. And this is because rather than a deficit reduction plan, this is a budget that has low and middle income families financing enormous tax giveaways to the wealthiest Americans through cuts to health care, nutrition assistance, and investments to create jobs and grow the middle class. And then finally, non-war defense spending would continue unabated with no relation to our national security interest at the expense of caring for our veterans returning home to their families. This budget actually increases the already bloated non-war defense budget, even as it fails to provide the funding that will help returning veterans by squeezing domestic discretionary programs such as job training, mental health services, and home heating assistance that our veterans disproportionately use. So by weakening the safety net further, this budget ups the ante for families who are teetering above the poverty line. And we hope they won't fall because there won't be much to catch them there under the new House Republican budget plan if it's implemented. With that, we want to turn it over to questions from the press.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And your first question is from Terry Jeffrey with CNS News.
This question is for Father Kelly. Father, you said that Representative Paul Ryan's budget plan is, quote, immoral and irresponsible, and pointed out that Catholics believe also, quote, that every person is precious, unquote. Yet you've joined on this call with Representative Nita Lowey, who supports legal abortion. Is that a morally acceptable position, Father?
Well, that's interesting that a person like you goes to that one issue as if it blocks out every other issue of right-to-life values. So I think we have to balance things a bit and do all we can to reduce abortions.
But yes or no, it's Representative Nita Lowey's position. She not only favors legalized abortion, but she's voted against denying federal funding to abortion. Do you believe that her position, that abortion should be legal, is morally acceptable? Yes or no, Father?
I think in a pluralistic society like ours, and since it's been the law of the land that abortion is legal, I think we have to do all we can do to reduce the number of abortions by being sensitive to and caring for the economic welfare of a woman who has an unwanted pregnancy.
Can we take the next question, please?
Yes, and your next question comes from Annalisa Massaro with Religion News Services.
Asking the panel, are you happy with the Obama administration funding for the same ideas that you are debating today?
This is Melissa from Half and Ten. I think that the president's budget shows that poverty reduction and deficit reduction don't have to be mutually exclusive objectives. The president manages to reduce the deficit by $4 trillion over 10 years, while at the same time carving out investments for job creation, as well as preserving critical safety net programs that help people when they fall on hard times. It's not a perfect budget, but it's a significant improvement over the House GOP budget, and it makes significant investments in job creation and the safety net.
Thank you.
Just to add to that, this is Lisa Sharon Harper from Sojourners. The Obama budget, while not perfect, it certainly actually shows a different set of priorities, and it does do more to help vulnerable and poor people. And it seems like his budget is more open to the kind of input from people of faith, the things that people of faith care about, than the budget that was put forth yesterday by Representative Ryan.
Thank you. Your next question is from Chuck Kornbach with Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good morning. Father Kelly, could you talk a little bit more, if you could think more specifically of some people in the first congressional, sort of break down how our Representative Ryan's budget proposal might affect people individually? Can you sort of put it at the grassroots level?
Well, it'd be difficult for me to be real specific about that, but I think the same burdens it would impose upon the general public would surely be true here in Wisconsin, because we have high unemployment in Beloit and Racine. So I just think that I think it's very destructive.
And one thing I can add to that is that when the SNAP block grant proposal becomes clear in terms of the amount of funding it would take out of each state, we can provide numbers as to how many meals would be cut for low-income families in Wisconsin and how many jobs would be lost in Wisconsin due to that SNAP block grant.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. Please feel free to follow up with any questions at info@halfandten.org, and we're happy to respond to questions on a rolling basis. Thanks very much.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. All presenters, please hold.